I got it.
Hey.
So sorry. I got tied up with another phone call. This is Mordechai Plasker. Going to get started right now on the share.
Fish sticks remind me, Rosh Chodesh.
Who's this? I'm sorry.
Oh?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't catch. Yeah, one more time. I didn't catch that. It's Rosh Chodesh tonight, correct? So tonight is tonight, as you correctly noted, is Rosh Chodesh. It's also the 15th night of the Omer. So we're well on our way. We're halfway there to Lag BaOmer, it seems. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to get started in just a second. Okay, so tonight's share is on Parsha Shnini, which talks about kosher and non-kosher animals. And one of the most important lessons that we learn is that while it's important to be careful with what goes into our mouths, we also have to be careful with what comes out of our mouths in the form of Lashon Hara, Motzei Shemra, Rechilas. The same way that we're so careful with kashrus, we should not be bashing the people that provide the kashrus. In the same way that we're careful to make sure that the restaurant or the institution that provides us with kosher food, we should not be denigrating the people who actually have their name as a certifying official. I always found that to be incredibly ironic and distasteful when people badmouth the rabbanim because they know more than they do. I never followed how people, laymen, are able to say these things. Unless, of course, they have something personal, in which case they really should keep it personal. But in any event, the Torah talks about in the sixth aliyah the importance of distinguishing between what is considered to be a kosher animal and what is considered to be a non-kosher animal. And in many of the cases, kosher animals don't have top teeth. Like horses have top teeth and bottom teeth. But cows only have bottom teeth. They don't have anything on top. And so if I once went to a farm and, the farmer was able to stick his hand down the cow's throat and pull out all the stuff that the cow kept on chewing when it's chewing its cud, it really just symbolizes that the cow can't hurt you. So the cow cannot hurt because it can't bite down. And that symbolizes a docile type of activity where the person is not a threat to anybody, not a physical threat to anybody. And so too, the Jewish people have always been a non-threatening force. Maybe we use our intellect, to our advantage because that's what we are able to do. But as a physical force, we're not gladiators. We're not Spartans. We're not going to be featured in movies as such. Maybe as comedians, but certainly not as gladiators. So the pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron lemar aleihem." Now every pasuk that we find, in Vayikra and in Shmos for that matter, and even in Bamidbar, we always find "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemar," "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe," "Vaydaber Hashem v'el Aaron lemar." Right? There's a lot of discussion. So the question that Rashi wants to understand is why does it say Aleihem? What does the word Aleihem refer to? Akash Baruch Hu already spoke to Moshe and Aaron. So why does it say Aleihem to them? It seems repetitive, very redundant. So Rashi does not really have an answer, but provides one and says and suggests that even though he's not so certain, it could refer to the brothers of Nadav and Avihu, Elazar and Elzaphon. And so those two brothers were the ones who were spoken to. Now, it's also interesting because we know that because Moshe Rabbeinu refused to be yonek, refused to receive any non-kosher food, why was that the case? Why was Moshe so strict about this? Because in the future, he was destined to speak. Moshe was destined to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pe'al Peh. So because he was destined to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pe'al Peh, he refused to eat or consume any non-kosher food. And the same thing is true for all of us. So while it's true that right now we communicate to our Kosher Baruch Hu through our tefillos, it's equally true that, you know, we're looking forward to the day when we'll be able to get an immediate response to the bakashas and to the tefillos that we have. And that was the greatness of when the Mishkan was established, because when the Mishkan was established, it was, and the Karbanos were being offered, it really felt, as the Medrash in Psikta Rus Daf Zion brings down, that it was as great as the creation of the world, heaven and earth, were as the day that heaven and earth were created. And then it was suddenly tempered by the loss of Nadav and Avihu. So the question is, why did Nadav and Avihu lose their life, and how do we understand the punishment over there? So some say it could be that they had to be a carbon for the actions of Aaron during the Egel. I don't really see that as being a reasonable, plausible answer, because Aaron HaKohen, if we study the Chumash really closely, we'll see that he actually kept Bnei Yisrael alive, even though several thousand had to die because of their direct involvement in the Chet Egel. If we say it's because they did not, Shehu Alach B'Fnei Rabban, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, well, you know, that's one opinion. And then we also have Rabbi Shmuel Shtur Yayin Nechmasu, they walked in intoxicated. We have the Kli Yakar that gives several other answers, including they didn't get married, they didn't have children, they didn't wear the Me'il. They said, when will these two elders die? It could be according to Rabbi Abachia, which says that they were poets Gavul at Mount Har Sinai, and since that's not a time to take out someone's life, maybe there was an extra one against them, and then the next time they broke the law, so to speak. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then, of course, we all know that they said Masaya Musu Shneim, Vaniva Anach. You know, one of these two leaders, Moshe and Aaron, dies, but you, Nadav and Avihu, we can take over. That clearly is poor speech, right? But maybe it's punishable by something other than Misa, but why exactly Misa? So the Torah actually comes back to this fundamental debate about how Masoras Torah is communicated. You know, most of us have a smartphone, so at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get the iPhone download 14.4.2. What is that all about? I don't know. It means that there's nothing we can do to control it, meaning it's downloaded into our phones whether we like it or not. Eventually, we can't delay these pushes, these data pushes. Or is the Masoras HaTorah literally an update that a person has to make onto their phone physically, right? Is that something, or is it something, again, is it something that we have to do in order to initiate and to communicate and to finalize, or is it something that's automatic? So we all know that during this time of year, we say Pirkei Avos, and the first Mishnah there says, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misena Masara LeYeshua. There's the Masoras HaTorah. And so if we want to understand this, perhaps, you know, then we would have to also look at some other answers or other possibilities for what they did wrong, right? So the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and in Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, both say that it's true that they brought the carbon, but they should have asked Moshe permission beforehand. If you take a look at the Das Kanim says that it's true that they brought the carbon, well, irrespective of whether they did it with asking or without asking permission, they made the fire appear to be man-made and not something that had come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which probably was a more egregious act. And also, looking at the parsha, it says, Afei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aaron Bekarvasno Fnei Hashem VeYamusu. So their closeness. So what was their closeness? They desired to come close to Hashem. How? At Mount Har Sinai. And that's exactly what Rabbeinu Bachya brings down as the cause, as the root cause. So whether we say X, Y, or Z, and believe me, there's plenty of these different explanations to be had, right? The Baal Torah is classic, but it says Osam in the Pasuk, right? I agree with Hashem. Ezra Asher Lo Tziva Osam. Osama is usually spelled without a vav, and this time it's spelled with a vav, to indicate that there were six reasons as the Baal term. And then he gives six reasons, many of which were already captured by the Kli Yakar, who also summarizes and says, oh, it all has to do with the Eish Zara. So if we say that it has to do with the Eish Zara, then how does any of the explanations that we've given so far correlate to this at all? So it could very well be, according to Rabbi Sol Friedman, the Chartika Rav, something more basic, and that is that whereas the goof of the mitzvah was correct, the machshava was off. What does that mean? That yes, they had to bring a karbon, and they did bring it. But A, the machshava was off because A, they didn't ask permission. B, they made it look like it's man-made. And then a host of other reasons that we've given so far. So how do we understand this? If we take a look at the word Eish, is fire. Eish and then Zara. Zara is in the feminine, right? There's Zara and Zara. Zara is in feminine form. So they didn't believe that they had to be the mashpia. They did not have to be the influencer. And why is that integral to this conversation? Because if we say that they got punished because they didn't have children, we don't punish people like this when not having children, right? We don't punish people like this when not getting married. But what is it about children? Don't refer to them as children. Really refer to them as the builders of tomorrow. They didn't want to be the builders of tomorrow. They believed that their Torah was as great as everyone else's. And this is actually the same argument that Korach presented. Why do you make yourself out to be a leader when all of us are really leaders, right? It's like that famous joke that Jimmy Carter and Menachem Begin once had. And Carter says to Begin, why do you have so much issues? You only have three billion people. I'm the president of over 300 million people. So he says, yes, that's true. But I'm the president of over 3 billion presidents. So, you know, if everyone thinks that they're the balabayas, if everyone thinks that they're in control, then it's very possible that nobody is in control, and Hashem is doing all this himself, meaning Hashem is the one responsible for giving the download. So if Hashem is going to give us all of this knowledge that's integral to us and our ability to make decisions independent of others and independent of feedback that we are no longer seeking from other people, then why do I need to have leaders like Moshe and Aaron when I myself can do the same judgment call? So if that's the case, lo nasui, they didn't get married. Is that a reason to punish someone? No. But nasui, marriage, is also the language is very close to nasi, a prince. And the word nasi is very close to nosei, which is a someone who carries, nosei o havero. He carries the burden of his friend. What does that refer to? That he takes on all of the issues that this friend has and then tries to resolve them. But these people, Nadav and Avihu, did not want to take on the issues of others. Why? Because it wasn't their headache. It was someone else's. And why should they? Everyone has issues. They all have to work it out. So why is it that I have to then go ahead and help someone resolve their own issues? And so if we take this approach that Nadav and Avihu, they did not want to be the mashpia. They did not want to be the influencer. They wanted to be left alone. And they really did believe that their Torah is just as great as Moshe and Aaron. And Hashem says, no, any deviation or any attack on the Mesoras HaTorah, the way things have been set up since the origin of creation, is an attack on the Torah itself, is an attack on Hashem himself, and the way Hashem destined to have this world be governed, because it says, Asher Barlikim Lasos, that we have to do. Lasos, Latakin, to fix. Right? And then we say, Afa Pisha Asher, Redis Neshamayim, Mitzvah Lahavim in a Hedgehog. Even though it's true that the influence is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a responsibility to help one another. How? Through Nasa Adam. Through helping each other. As you say to Bris, Kishem, Shemekhus Abris, Kain Mikonis, Tarla Chupa, Ma'asim Tovim, that we help this child come to the Bris. Nobody brought him here but us. And so, the same way that we accomplish one mitzvah, Bris being the Gematria 612, we're going to help this kid accomplish many more mitzvahs. So, now going back to the question, why does it say the word Alehem in the Pasuk? The answer is because Aleihem refers to every single one of us. It does not refer just to the brothers of Nadav and Avihu that had to take their brothers out of the Kachin Kachim, but rather it refers to every single one of us, that we have a responsibility to lift each other up, to be a positive influence. Granted, there are times where we could be negative, we could be a negative influence on others if we're not careful with what we do, how we behave, and how we speak, and how we interact. But generally speaking, and we all know that we have this responsibility to be a positive source of inspiration to one another. And if we do this as what Hashem desires from us, then that's really the task that we have at hand. And that's how we keep the Masoras HaTorah going. That's how we keep the Masoras HaTorah alive. And that's what we are expected to do. So it could be that Nadav and Avihu were great people, of course. In fact, certainly so. They were great people. They were just way ahead of their time. They really did believe that Mashiach was really on its way, and you know it's going to happen right now. And we are all Kulanu Chacham, Kulanu Yodim Es HaTorah, that we're all very smart, and we all know the Torah. And Nadav and Avihu had a great deal of confidence in our ability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you're way ahead of your time. We still need to help lift people up. And in order for them to accomplish great things, they need to be able to be positively motivated and influenced. And so that's the reason why Nadav and Avihu were so wonderful and so great. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best. And thank you very much for listening. And apologies for starting a few minutes late. Have a great night and a great week. All the very best. Take care. Chodesh Tov.